may be seated. Well, good morning, and before anybody points it out, let me point it out. My stole is crossed. And it's not because I didn't know how to tuck them in the proper way. What it means is my cross that I normally wear was not in the place that I normally put it, and I ran out of time to normally look for it. And so it is proper protocol that if you're serving at the altar or you are vested, that you have a cross, and in the absence of a real cross, you cross your stole, making the symbol of the cross. So I'm sure once I took off my alb, you'll be able to critique all of my ensemble today, but not this part, because this is proper. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew, and especially so Don and John didn't have to lay hands on me on Tuesday morning since I didn't know how to dress myself. So, with that out of the way, today we're going to focus on Ascension Sunday. Now, the Feast of the Ascension is May 9th. I'm looking at you, Father Know-It-All. I mean, Looker. No, I didn't mean it that way. Know-It-All things liturgical. That's what I meant. I didn't mean it to sound that way. But if you want to watch him squirm, watch when I tell you what I'm not going to be talking about today, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. He's going to get a little nervous, I promise you. But anyway, Ascension, I'm sorry. Well, good, that makes two of us. Because I do too. Did you hear the scriptures today? The Old Testament reading during this season of Easter, our Old Testament really ends up being the book of Acts, which is the only time we really read the book of Acts in our service, in the public declaration of the word. And this is talking about the ascension of Jesus. And the linchpin, the linchpin of eschatology can be found in this scripture. You like that? Eschatology is the study of the last days. And if it wasn't for this group of scriptures that we read today, and specifically in the book of Acts, where the angel stood with the people after Jesus ascended and said, "Why do you marvel? The same Jesus who just was taken from you this way shall return again." And hence, you have the beginning of eschatology. And from that point on, man has taken the belief that Jesus is returning again to this earth and tried to uncover how it's going to look, when it's going to happen, what about this, what about that, and then you get all this teaching and doctoring on the tribulation and pre-trib and post-trib and mid-trib and trib here and a trib there, and you get tripped up on all this trib, okay? You have to be very, very careful. And then there's a group of people who say, "We have unlocked the code of the Bible. We have unlocked numerology. We've unlocked the calendar like we've never seen it before. And by calculating this super duper decoder ring that we and only we have, we can tell you when that's going to happen." Are you nervous yet? Okay. I have devoted the last 4 years of my life, not every day, but the last 4 years of my life studying and dissecting every last day's prophet's teaching that I could find. Looking for a common thread. Looking for the key. And I found it. And I'm here today to share it with you and enlighten you so you too will have a firm and founded eschatology. There will be a teaching. There will be a public heralding of Christ's imminent return. You'll hear about it next week. You might hear about it by the end of the year. You might hear about it by next year. But it's coming, because we just had one. And we had one before that. Even the world has begun to sound this trumpet of the end of times by all the hubbub we heard about the end of the Mayan calendar. And this was it. And the world also echoed it in Y2K. The end of it all. And here's the signs. Here's how you know it's going to come. The next time you hear somebody talk about the end of the world as we know it and the end of time as we know it, and Christ is coming back as He promised, here's the common thread they are going to share with all the ones before them. Are you ready? You don't have to even have a pen and paper out. They were all wrong. Absolutely, unequivocally wrong. So the next time you hear someone tell you this way, this time, this date, they're wrong. Jesus said, "No man." And then He qualified, "Not even the Son of Man knows the day or the hour of My return." We are assured of Christ's return. We are assured of it in our creed, which is really all the eschatology that you need. I'm going to read it to you right out of our creed. He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. There's your eschatology. He is coming. He is coming back. And He's coming to judge the living and the dead. And He's coming in glory. So it's going to be a glorious coming. I think if we can just grab hold of that hope, as heaven comes down to earth and Christ comes to claim what is His, that's really all we need to focus on. Rest of it's going to happen how it happens, when it happens. And you know what? According to that, God is in control. So we don't need to worry about it. Amen? Amen. That's not my sermon. But but these Scriptures scream to talk about that. And I just didn't want to cover over it, so I wanted to give you a little sidebar freebie. Okay? So you got it. Now you're nervous. As we look at our gospel lesson today, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our gospel lesson. And our gospel lesson today, oh great, Scott, you didn't reference it in your notes. Thank you. Luke 24. There are a couple of things that really jumped out at me as I was reading over this. And how far did it, where did it start in Luke 24? 49. Thank you very much. You got to keep me on task here. "I'm going to send you what My Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. The first thing I noticed, Jesus was not the first person taken into heaven that we're told of in Scripture. Can somebody remember who else was? Ezekiel? No. Enoch? Enoch, Moses, and Elijah. Anybody remember how Elijah went, was taken into heaven? Wow. He had a holy limo service come get him. Right? Right. Da-da-da-da-da. A chariot of fire came and got the prophet to take him from this earth to the next. Wow, that would have been something to behold. But you know what strikes me about that? Jesus didn't need a ride. Because he was going home. He knew where it was. He was there before the beginning of time. He didn't need a road map. He didn't need a chauffeur. He was going home to Daddy. Whew, that's good. That'll preach. Come on. Come on, Scott. Come on, give me one, give me one. Okay. That'll preach. He knew where he was going. He went on his, it says, he ascended. Angels didn't come pick him up and carry him away. A chariot of fire didn't come get him. He opened his hands, blessed the people. Another lesson there is the great high priest. Bless the people and rose from their sight and ascended. Wow, what a picture that would have been. How incredible that would be. Now we're going to come back to that one in a minute, but I'm going to stay on the gospel right now. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. The next thing gets me about this scripture is it says they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Come with me. Let's go to John, Gospel of John. That's just one of these things that make me go, hmm? You ever hit one of those things that make you go, hmm? Well, when it says they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, that phrase, great joy, made me go, hmm. And I'll tell you the reason why it made me go, hmm. If you go to John's Gospel, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear, Jesus came and stood among them. We're talking the ascension happened historically 40 days after the resurrection. I was just checking with Father All Things Liturgical. 40 days. In 40 days, something happened. Here was a group, we all know the story. Don Francisco sang about it. The gates and doors were barred, all the windows fastened down.
We spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound.
They were scared. After Jesus was crucified, let's remember the story. We just came through the season. Everybody but John and his mama left him. Jesus died. He was buried. They were scared. They're next. Typical response. And then Jesus rose from the grave, came in there, and said, "Peace." When Jesus said, "Peace," and Jesus did the very next thing, something happened in the disciples that changed them for eternity. Father Ed spoke about it 2-3 weeks ago when he last spoke. He was using this scripture. Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them. He breathed the breath of life into the disciples. Very similar parallel to when in Genesis, God formed man. And he breathed into his nostrils and gave him life. The first birth in Genesis. The rebirth in John chapter 20. As the resurrected Savior breathed into his disciples. He breathed into them the second birth. The new life. Everything that they didn't understand, they began to understand. All things old were passed away, and behold, all things were new. Everything that Jesus taught, everything that Jesus promised, everything that Jesus did, all of a sudden made sense. Wasn't that the way it was with you? When the Spirit of God came and spoke into your heart, and you asked Jesus into your heart, and he breathed his life into your life, didn't that set you on a path for things to become new, to become fresh, to become exciting? I know it did me. When Jesus ascended, when we go back to Luke, when Jesus ascended, he wasn't ascending in front of the same people who were scared and hiding. He was now with people that he had just spent the last 40 days reteaching because they had new ears, because they had a new spirit to understand. And when he went up before them, rather than mourning his loss like they did before, they rejoiced with great joy because now they knew that they knew that they knew whatever he said he was going to do. And what he said was he was going to the Father to be sit at the right hand of the Father, and he was going to take his place in glory, and he was going to send the Holy Spirit. They left that place hopping happy. Because they knew it was coming. They knew for sure it was coming. They didn't have a shadow of a doubt that it was coming. That's why they were able to leave with great joy. And what's the last line there? They continually stayed at the temple praising God. Doing what he said, not afraid of anybody or anything, because Jesus, who now is in me, is going up to see Father God and is going to send the Holy Spirit to empower us. And we are going to set this world ablaze. Come on, Lord, I'm just waiting. What a different attitude. What a different way to look at it.